Ryan Haney, he joins us today to talk about the KU spring game, which took place this past weekend. And Brian's appearance brought to you by the fine folks over at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt. He's a huge Jayhawk fan. I will say Michelle's not as big of a Jayhawk fan, but Matt is a huge Jayhawk fan, so that handles that. 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 785-738-5701. Brian, how you doing, man?
Doing well, Wade. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. I enjoyed the Royals finally beating Bumgarner last night, so I'm doing a little bit better. But it sounds like a rough day at the office in Wichita last night.
Yeah, no doubt. KU baseball has been on quite a roll, not just within this season, but overall in that series versus the Shockers. They had won 8 of the last 9, and within this season they had won 7 of the last 10, but really got beat around the yard pretty good in an 8-0 Shocker win. Got out hit 15-4. But good news with baseball is you can wipe that taste out of your mouth pretty fast and get back at it, in most cases, the very next day. In this case, they'll be back at it on Friday in Norman versus Oklahoma. And it's a young KU baseball team that's exceeded all expectations to this point in league play at 6-6. They were picked last in the preseason coaches poll and will have a chance to possibly finish in the top 5 of the league. So they've done a really nice job and still got to go out there and close it out these next few weekends. But pretty excited about what Kansas has in front of them with a core group that's pretty much all freshmen and sophomores, with one or two exceptions in that.
The spring game was over the weekend. What were your impressions after thinking about it after the game was over?
You know, I think that from a fan's perspective, folks got to see what they came to see, in terms of, okay, how's this Peyton Bender kid going to look at quarterback? The former Washington State Cougar who played last season at Itawamba Community College, he goes 11 of 15 for 2 touchdowns and 143 yards, has the game-winning touchdown to the other big transfer you were curious about, Daylon Charlotte, the former Alabama 5-star receiver. He catches the game-winning touchdown in the closing moments, and I thought showed really strong hands, both on one pattern down the sideline of 28 yards, and then the game-winning touchdown catch as well, with, you know, in traffic, little dart from about 4 or 5 yards out, right on the goal line, goes up strong, makes the catch. To me, those were the two guys we tend to gravitate toward offense as fans that folks are most intrigued to see, and they both hook up on the game-winning score. Defensively, it was tough to garner a whole lot because with the spring game rules being what they are, where as soon as you're touched as a quarterback, you're down. You know, we saw a ton of sacks that wouldn't have been sacks, and a guy like Carter Stanley, who really the bread and butter of his game is his escapability and elusiveness, as soon as you got a finger on him, he's done. And that's taken away from what I think he can bring. So, yes, Peyton Bender clearly had the better numbers, and, you know, to shoot straight, he probably had the bigger upside based on his arm strength and how quickly the ball comes out. But I would caution the Kansas fans and the listening audience not to lead too much into the spring game comparison, because, you know, Stanley's 13 of 24 line for 114 yards, no touchdowns, a little bit hampered by the fact that some of his plays were blown dead before he could get them off based on the rules they had in place to protect the quarterbacks. And, you know, in a different setting, maybe he stands up and has a bigger game than what he did. But there's no doubt there's a little extra zip on the ball thrown by Peyton Bender, and he clearly had a great spring. But I think that war wages on throughout fall camp and maybe 2 or 3 weeks deep in the month of August before we see who the starting quarterback's going to be. And yet right now, I think that while Carter Stanley is the incumbent and it's his job to lose, I think there's clear momentum on the side of Peyton Bender. And if I had to place a guess at this point, I would think that he's got a narrow lead. But we'll see.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, is with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. And you know, it's interesting because we had Jake Sharp on the show, former KU stud, of course, from Salina Central, and has his own business there in Salina. We talked with him a couple weeks ago. And I was chatting with him, and of course they had the great team that went to the Orange Bowl and went 12-1. And I know you and I have talked about this as well, and other KU fans I've discussed this with, is that, you know, this KU football team, in order for David Beatty to take this program and elevate it and improve and make strides year in and year out, and to maybe eventually get back to a team that can go to a big bowl game down the line and win a game like the Orange Bowl is that you need a quarterback. We see this at every level of football. You need a solid quarterback, whether it's one that doesn't make mistakes that puts you in a hole, or whether it's one that can make plays, but you also need that quarterback to be a leader. And one of the things Jake Sharp told us was Todd Reesing, of course, was undersized and not heavily recruited out of Texas, but was a tremendous quarterback for the University of Kansas. He said he was a leader and he was the smartest guy on the field. And if Kansas can find that, whether that's in Bender or in Stanley, now you've got something, and doesn't that really increase and enhance the chances of Davey Beatty turning this thing around?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that as good as the defense appears to be with three all-conference returnees in Armstrong, Daniel Wise, and Mike Lee, you've got a chance to really make a considerable leap this year if you can get any type of consistency at that quarterback position on the other side of the ball, because I like what they have protecting the quarterback now with Charles Baldwin, the five-star Alabama tackle transfer. You got Hakeem Adeniji, who I think is going to be a breakout star at the other tackle position for Kansas. We saw him as a freshman a year ago really turn some heads when he didn't have the biggest frame, and he's added 20 pounds of muscle since the end of last season. I mean, he looks like an absolute Adonis, man. He is a stud. And then you take a look at some of the skill position talent the quarterbacks will have at their disposal. I just mentioned Daylon Charlotte, the Alabama transfer. Steven Sims looks poised for a big year as he enters his junior campaign. There's a good stable of running backs as well, with two more that will arrive on campus this summer that factor in, including the number one junior college running back. And so you add it all up, and there's clearly pieces in place for the offense to be really good and this team as a whole, based on some of those defensive studs coming back, to really make some strides if they can get that consistency and that leadership you're talking about from the quarterback position, good decision-making, you know, the ability with a new offensive coordinator like we've got now in an outstanding addition that David Beatty just really wowed us to be able to go out and get and Doug Meacham to move the football at a high clip and not be a team that's good for 17 a game but good for 34 a game in a league where it takes that much to compete on a regular basis. And I think they can make that type of jump if the quarterback position is what we think it can be. And shoot, man, just going back to last year's season, you know, we obviously had a couple of wins, and the TCU game would have easily been a third. If you look at the end of that TCU game, there was a play with Willis at quarterback, and not to throw him under the bus at all, but his eyes were elsewhere, and he missed one of his reads on a slant over the middle where there wasn't a frog within 10 yards, and they could have just walked into the end zone. It's actually a post over the middle that they missed. It was wide open. And the point is, you get a quarterback in there who is able to go through his progressions, put the ball consistently where it needs to go. I've got the utmost faith and confidence in Coach Beatty as an offensive mind, Doug Meacham as an offensive mind, and the protection and personnel catching passes for these guys that we can absolutely string together an extra win or two just simply by having more consistency at that position where you're limiting mistakes, you're taking advantage of what's given to you. I mean, there's an example right there where they would have won the TCU game absolutely if that throw was made, and it would have been a pretty routine throw. They just flat out missed it, missed seeing it. And if you get a guy in there that takes what's given to him, and the thing that was great about Reesing was, gosh, I think it was something like 36-4, his touchdown to interception ratio during his finest season in his junior campaign. And, you know, you have a guy like that can move the ball while limiting turnovers and stay away from those self-inflicted wounds. That's the type of guy that can really take this program to the next level. And hopefully they have that, you know, brewing right now, because clearly around that quarterback position, there's enough personnel enhancement to see Kansas be a 4 or 5-win team, which might not sound like much to some of your listeners that wear purple, but you know, when you're trying to make that step from zero to a couple of wins to, you know, then getting close to bowl contention, I think a lot of Kansas fans would sign up for 5 wins if you told them they could have that right now.
Well, and you mentioned the fans in purple, the ones that have been K-State fans for years, and some of the older fans, no disrespect to the older and wiser people out there, is that they should understand that more than anybody, because K-State, of course, had a really horrible football program in Bill Snyder. It took him time, step by step, and he built the program to where it is today. And, you know, certainly Mark Mangino had success at Kansas. Kansas has had success in football at times, no doubt. It's just been not lately, and certainly I think David Beatty is on the right track. And you mentioned the personnel around, you know, the running backs. It sounds like Coach Beatty and the staff feel really good about what they have there, and certainly Sims at wide receiver. They've got talent, a lot more talent and speed at the skill positions than they did just a couple years ago.
It's so true. You know, we gave you the stat a dozen times last year about the 40-yard dash times that had enhanced so much from just a handful of guys in Beatty's first season that could run a sub 4.640 to now 35 guys starting last season, and that number is north of 40 now. And they love their new strength and conditioning coach, Zach Woodfin, that they brought in, who's going to take it to the next level with the speed and the strength of this team. But having said that, I think more than anything, it's just night and day different in terms of the level of competition at each spot. What they did in the format of this spring game last week in drafting two rosters and having some fun with Team Jayhawks and Team KU, they didn't have the bodies to do that. They certainly didn't have the talent to do it well when he first got here. I mean, they were lucky to put together a first string with, you know, a few guys on the second string that could line up and be somewhat competitive. And now you've got guys competing at every spot. And I asked Coach Beatty, you know, what area have you seen the most competition? And he couldn't give me an answer because he felt like they legitimately now have not just a two deep that they feel confident in, but guys chomping at the bit to crack that two deep behind the first two strings. That is more indicative of what a real major conference, Big 12 caliber conference program would have. And you know, it took them 3 years to get there, and that doesn't mean they're going to start winning six or seven games right away, but they now can compete. And when attrition sets in and injuries happen and that sort of thing, they're not down and out and about to get blasted. You know, they've taken the 3 years to stockpile that talent, again going heavy into the Lone Star State, but now into the state of Louisiana a ton as well, thanks to Tony Hull's recruiting efforts. And they brought in a different caliber of athlete more frequently than what they had before. You saw, you know, a handful of certain guys that looked the part when you first got here. Now most guys look the part. And, you know, I hate to share this story, but it's a little bit indicative of where we were at one point. But my color analyst, David Lawrence, who wears his heart on his sleeve when it comes to KU football because he lived it, and is so passionate about it. He did it as a player, a coach, and now a broadcaster for the last 20-plus years. And we were both together down in Dallas at Big 12 Football Media Days during the Charlie Weiss era. And without naming names, you know, three guys that Kansas brought to Media Day that day did not look the part. You know, there was a little bit extra around the waistline. The shoulders weren't as broad. They weren't as tall. You know, through the chest, they didn't look as built. And when the guys come around that corner, if you've ever been to the Omni Hotel in Dallas where Radio Row is, and they bring in the head coach and the three or four players behind him, and they kind of walk the walk, you know, down Press Row area, you know, as Texas came walking through, and here comes Oklahoma, and here comes pretty much everybody except for Kansas, they all had guys that looked the part. And it's not that KU looked fat and frumpy and short, but they certainly didn't look like a major conference college football team. And David on that day, again, this is, you know, 5-6 years ago.
Right.
David was so demoralized. And because he just realized, and this is just the eyeball test. This isn't even lining up and putting pads on and hitting anybody. But you just realized KU was in a very different category. Well, I say all that to say and try and paint a picture that not only do they have the 40 times and the bench press times and the deadlifts and all that to measure up, But now on the field especially, they look the part, and they believe they belong too. And as Yogi Berra would tell you, 90% of the game is half mental. You know, starting with the belief is as important as anything, but now they've got the physical measurements and times to match up with that as well. And so it's going to absolutely look like a Big 12 football team, and hopefully they'll have the results of a team that belongs in this league. And it's taken 3 years now, three recruiting classes to get it there for David Beatty. But I think more so than any team we've seen in both the Beatty and Weiss eras, this one's ready to compete. this one has three guys on the defense alone that will play in the NFL someday. I think that offensive talent is about to start catching up as well. So that's really exciting.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Bill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. I'm really upset with myself. I did not start this interview with the stunning announcement and shocking revelation that Josh Jackson is going to go to the NBA draft and hire an agent. Yeah, we talked about it the last couple weeks. It was just a matter of when, but Josh has finally made that official. Anything to add to that here in our last interview with you until the fall?
You know, not really, other than, as we talked about on previous reports, I really am excited to see where he heads. And obviously, wherever it is, we hope it's the best fit for utilizing his skill set and all that. But as you and I discussed, there's a chance the Celtics are going to be picking in the top three. Lakers could be picking in the top three. I really hope he goes to a market where his marketability and his exposure is at an optimal level, because I think he can be that next Paul Pierce-type flag carrier for KU basketball in the NBA, something that for years we waited on who's it going to be. And now we've got a couple good ones in Wiggins and Embiid, as you and I have discussed. But I think Josh, more so than any other, could really be that because of his ability to affect all phases of the game, fill up every category on a stat sheet. And personally, if he goes to the right market, he has a chance to be a real budding star within this league. So I'm pumped for him, and I'm pumped for Frank too. You know, I think Frank is a mid to late second round guy right now, but he has a chance to go out there and exceed that based on how his workouts go. And I think anybody, you know, that's overlooking the National Player of the Year, who was a consensus pick for that, you know, isn't worth their salt as a GM. And I realize he doesn't have the height measurables that you'd like to see, but you can't measure the kid's heart. And for those reasons, he's going to make a roster somewhere. And he'll be a guy, you know, I said this 8 years ago about Daryl Stuckey. And here's Daryl getting set for his eighth NFL season. I said, based on his character, his toughness, and his work ethic, he's the type of guy that once you get him on your roster, you don't want to see him leave it, because he makes everybody around him better. And he might not be the most impactful guy at the next level, but he's going to find a way to stick and stay. And I said about Stuckey, he'll probably be with some team for a decade because they won't want to let loose of him. Well, here he is, even though he's changed from the San Diego Chargers to the L.A. Chargers, he's been that same guy with the same franchise. He's been their man of the year and was up for NFL man of the year because of all the intangibles. And I see the same in Frank in terms of his work ethic, his toughness. Now, he may not have the same team longevity, because in the NBA a lot of times you get shuffled around a bit. But my point is, he's going to have a long, lucrative career, 10 or 12 years in the league, and not have to bounce around nearly as much as some, because that's a guy that just makes everybody around him better and sets a standard for work ethic away from the practice court, away from what's demanded. He goes in and puts in the extra time, and you want guys like that around your team. It pulls the best out of everybody, and I think he's going to be that for 10 or 12 years at the next level.
Well, I know I'm definitely pulling for him, and I know folks that are K-State fans have told me they just completely respect Frank Mason, and I actually felt bad. If there's anybody they felt bad for, certainly they don't feel bad that KU loses. When you're a rival, you don't really – you like it when your rival loses in a game, like the Elite Eight is Kansas. But I did have a few K-State fans said, you know, glad Frank Mason is done, because he tortured everybody in the Big 12 the last couple of years. But it was kind of sad to see that ending for him because of what he meant. And there's just a lot of respect is what I'm trying to say, even from fans of other teams, even within the Big 12, with Frank Mason. I think there's a lot of people that would like to see a guy, plus being undersized for the NBA at, what, 5'10", 5'11", to see him be successful. I think there's a lot of people, including you and I, that are pulling for him. Time for our off-the-wall question. I'm going to make it two today, because this is the last time we're going to talk with Brian on the air here on the Sports Ticket, and we hope to get this all lined up again in August as we get ready for the beginning of football season. So, Brian, are you ready?
Let's do it. Can't wait.
All right, man. Here's the first one. This was our Facebook question of the day on our morning show. What is the best nickname you have been given or heard someone else have?
Oh, wow. Well, probably the best nickname that I was given, and hasn't stuck for too long, but I'm the type of person, I'm pretty outgoing and strike up a lot of random conversations with random people when we're out on the road. And we were down in College Station, Texas, back when A&M was still in the league, and went to a bar called the Dixie Chicken, which is famous because if you go down there the night before a Texas A&M game in football or basketball, and you wear the other team's colors and have their logo on, so long as it's not UT, you'll drink for free the entire night, not because of the bar itself, but because of the patrons within it. It's their Southern charm and hospitality. It's kind of their tradition to treat the enemy well the night before. I don't know if it's a good karma thing or what, but I had on my Jayhawk stuff, and guys befriended me. And the other thing they do down there besides drink a lot of Shinerbach is they play dominoes. And every bar table has a game of dominoes going. And so I sat down, much to the surprise of the group of people I was with. I ended up hanging out with these random locals for about an hour and a half, and they taught me how to play dominoes and bought me Shinerbach until I really knew dominoes. And and so my group that I was with nicknamed me Bones Jones, because Bones being a dominoes reference, and my initials are BJ, Brian James. So I was Bones Jones, and for the rest of the year, the players and coaches called me that, and it kind of went away after I went down to Lubbock for a few years. But point of the story is, check out the Dixie Chicken if you're ever in College Station, and you never know how you might pick up a nickname along the way.
Bones Jones Haney. Interesting.
You got it.
I might have to introduce you like that sometime next year. And finally, the last off-the-wall question for this season, and before I get to it, I want to thank you very much for your time. I know you do a lot of these interviews with various stations across the state and across the region, and I always enjoy talking with each and every week to talk KU athletics, and certainly it was nice to see you at one of the games early this year as well. And once again, thank you for meeting my son and taking a picture with him. That was really nice of you, because I know you were busy at the time and you took time, and that's important.
I'm glad.
That means a lot, man. Okay, so a final off-the-wall question for the year. What will you miss most about not talking to us out here at KD Country 94 in North Central Kansas?
Well, first off, Wade, thanks for having me on for all these reports. Gosh, we've probably done 35 of them. And I certainly will miss the off-the-wall questions the most, because of all the interviews I do on a weekly basis, and nobody keeps it fun and lighthearted and funny like you do. So definitely I will miss those. And if you want to just, you know, email me those questions off and on, or shoot me text,
sure,
you know, during the offseason, just so I can get a weekly dose of off the wall, I would gladly appreciate it. I can't promise how interesting my answers will be, but it'll have me thinking outside the box and not just talking about the same stuff everybody else wants to talk about. So I'll miss that the most. And, yeah, certainly excited about another year of these reports. Big thanks to everybody over at the Anderson Insurance Agency. And we plan to be back. And, you know, when we huddle up in August, we'll have a chance to talk about how the Italy trip went.
Yes.
For KU men's basketball. We'll be talking about how the spring fall camp is looking, or the training camp's looking for KU football and David Beatty. And so, you know, a lot to look forward to there. And hopefully it's a season where we see the football team jump up with, you know, three or four extra wins, and a basketball season in which they'll start out the year once again in a preseason top five. We know that for sure now that Devontae Graham is coming back, and maybe in the next few weeks we'll find out about Ski as well. But a lot to anticipate in the year ahead. Can't wait for that. Certainly appreciative of all you did throughout the year.
Well, thank you. And we enjoyed each and one of those 35 or so interviews we've had with you throughout the sports season. And we look forward to talking to you again in August. Enjoy your summer. Be safe. And take care of yourself, all right?
All right. You tell Miller I said hi, okay?
I will. I'll do that. Thanks, Bones Jones.
Noah as well.
Take care, man.
Explain that to the listeners that don't catch the joke.
Yeah, I'll try to explain that to them. Thanks, man.
Super.
Take care. See ya. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. And Brian has been wonderful to work with throughout the season. And his appearance each and every week has been brought to you by Matt and Michelle over at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.